You are listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are celebrating our Easter, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we are looking at Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12.
But first our choir will sing an African song.
Let us pray. Lord, what a gift we receive this morning. We thank you for this gift of life, this life in Jesus Christ who is risen from the tomb this day. And so, Lord, as we gather around the words of his story, of our story, we ask that you be with us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how's your weekend been so far? Pretty good? Everyone's recovered from Good Friday? Good Friday's such a hard day. I don't know if you find it that way or not, but I find it hard. You know, Jesus dying and all that, and knowing that I was one who put him there. It's a very emotional day. And then all day Saturday, we just aren't sure how we're supposed to feel, right? You know, should we be happy? It's a nice day. Should we get out inside and enjoy it? Or do we sit around and mourn some more? What is it we're supposed to do? I mean, everyone around us, they're excited. It's a four-day weekend. They're out with the kids. They're playing. They're having a good time. Spring is very much in the air right now, isn't it? Yet as Christians, we sometimes don't know what to think. We want to be happy, but we almost feel guilty about it. You know, Jesus died. We had a hand in it. So when Sunday morning comes, it's almost a sense of relief, right? Finally, we get to be happy. Finally, we get to celebrate. But is the sense of relief, is that what it's really about? Today is Easter Sunday. This is the best day in the entire year. No day tops this day. None. The tomb is empty. Jesus is gone. He's not in the tomb. His body, we can't find it. It's nowhere to be seen. And we celebrate. That's a strange thing to celebrate, isn't it? Someone we think who is very important has died. And now we're celebrating that the place where he was buried, well, no one can find the body. So let's have a party. No doubt the women who went to the tomb and saw it was open, they were no doubt in shock. Right? Not only have they lost someone they loved, but they can't even find the body. The Gospel of Luke says they were confused. They are wondering about what they have seen, what they have found in the tomb. The stones rolled away, no sign of Jesus. You kind of wonder if maybe they walked back outside and checked the address of the tomb, you know, make sure they're in the right place. It's a strange situation to celebrate, isn't it? But then there's the two visitors that we read about in Luke this morning. Two angels appear. And the women were afraid, as I'm sure any of us would be in a similar circumstance. But the angels, they have an important message to share. They say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, that's an interesting question. It appears that, yeah, the women did look in the wrong place, but it wasn't because they went to the wrong tomb. It's because they were looking for someone who's dead, who's not dead, who's very much alive. And then we're told the women remembered the words. They remembered what Jesus has been teaching them as they followed him around. They remembered he had said a few times, he had said, "I will rise again on the third day." Well, this is the third day, and he's not here, just as he promised. Of course, how silly, right? There it is. There's the reason we celebrate. Jesus has won. The victory is his. But what has he won? What is this victory? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. So we look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 3 and 4. And Paul writes, the Apostle Paul writes, "For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures, well, what's that about? Well, let's look some more. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. When the prophet wrote, "Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." And what does it say in Romans chapter 6? Again, the Apostle Paul is writing, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may be increased? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And those are just a couple of examples of many, many examples of why we celebrate Easter morning, that the tomb is empty, that Christ lives. Because if it all ended on Friday, if it all ended on Good Friday, if it all ended in death, then we have nothing to celebrate here today. Because if it ends in death, then we all die. And there's nothing we can do about it. We could live a pure life, we could live a sinful life. It doesn't matter if it all ends in death. But the empty tomb, the risen Christ shows it does make a difference. It makes a difference because Jesus did exactly as he said he was going to do. He lived, and he lives today. He has done what no one thought was possible. I mean, no one could survive that amount of torture. No one could survive death on a cross. No one could ever come back from that. But he did. In 3 days, he promised, just as he promised, he is alive. And the women, they remembered he said he would do this. They are so excited to be reminded of this remarkable plan and to witness it actually fulfilled. They run back to the disciples and share what they have seen, what they have learned from the angels. The response of the disciples is confusion. Luke writes, "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense." Now, I suspect in their excitement, the women were probably tripping over the words a little bit, trying to convey this amazing thing they have seen and how they remembered what Jesus had been teaching them, what he had shared, the whole plan that he had been telling them, and how it all actually unfolded perfectly, just like he promised, just like he said it would. But the disciples don't believe them. Why not? What's their problem? Can't they trust the women? Well, the disciples didn't receive the good news from the angels. It wasn't revealed to them by the Holy Spirit as it was for the women. The women had the words of Jesus with them, just like the disciples. They had all heard Jesus teaching that he would die but coming back again in 3 days. But the Bible says the women remembered them. They remembered them, but only after the prompting of the angels and the Holy Spirit. The disciples, they didn't have this opportunity. They didn't have the angels. They didn't have it revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. And so Peter, he even gets up and he goes to check for himself. He wants to see it. He wants to investigate. So he walks into the tomb. He sees it's empty. And he sees the burial cloths lying there. But even after seeing all of this, even after hearing what the women have told him, he still didn't get it. He left wondering what had happened. Peter didn't have the Holy Spirit there to reveal it to him. Isn't that interesting, though? The disciples, they've been kind of the trainees for the last 3 years, walking with Jesus, learning about all of his teachings, watching him do miracles, doing miracles themselves, doing all this stuff with Jesus for 3 years. Yet, they aren't the ones to understand right away. I mean, they're chosen to build the church, right? This is what they're being trained to do. But they had to wait even longer before they fully understood what had happened. It was the women who knew first. It was the women to share the good news of the risen Christ, just as he had promised. The first preachers of the empty tomb, those first evangelists, to tell the saving act of Jesus Christ overcoming the grave, they were women. This is significant because women had no roles to play, no leadership roles to play in society back then. I mean, they were there to serve the men. Yet the women were first to not only hear the good news, they were the first to understand it and the first to share it. Now, it's time for another connection between the late Gospel of Luke and the early Gospel of Luke. And if you haven't been with us for a couple of weeks, that's okay. I've been connecting the stories of Jesus late in his life to stories earlier on in his life, which the Gospel of Luke likes to do. So I want you to think back to the birth of Jesus. And who was there? Were the Pharisees there? No, they weren't there. What about the scribes or other religious leaders? No, none of them either. No mention of any of them in the birth story of Jesus. So what about politicians? Was the king there? Was the governor there? No, none of them were there either. So who was there at the birth of Jesus? Well, there was a virgin and her husband. They're all alone because they've been ostracized by their community because, well, she got pregnant before they were married. So who else was there? The shepherds. The dirty, smelly, uneducated, unwanted shepherds. And so at the manger, those are the people who were there to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Nobodies. Nobody of any significance in the grand scheme of society. No one respected, no one of any importance at all. And so we come back to today, and who is there to receive the good news that Jesus Christ has overcome the grave? It's the women. And it's no one of any particular importance. They aren't the wives of kings or leaders or anything like that. They're just regular women. Widows, poor, mostly unwanted. Certainly no one we would expect to be the first to receive such wonderful news. Yet the Holy Spirit chose them to give them an understanding of what had happened before anybody else. And they happily share it with everyone so that they could have the chance to know Jesus Christ lives. Who else needs to know? Who in this world of ours today needs to know that Jesus is alive and that he has won the battle on our behalf? Who needs to know? Well, I'm going to suggest it's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who need to know that Jesus Christ has risen so that we can be saved from our sinfulness. We all need to know that we have eternal life when we realize this incredible gift God has given to all of us, a new life in him. And this new life is for all eternity. There are many people who need to know this news. So who's going to tell them? And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, not me, because nobody listens to me, you need to read this story again. No one understood the women when they shared the good news, but they shared it. Peter got up and went to check it out for himself. At the very least, he was intrigued enough by what they shared to go investigate, to go see for himself. Peter, after hearing the women and what they saw, what they heard, he felt the need to go and try to find that same excitement the women were exhibiting when they came running into the room. Do not underestimate the power of a story, your story, that it can have on others. If you've had an encounter with God through the risen Jesus Christ, this is a good news story of your own, and it needs to be shared. Sure, maybe no one will understand what you're saying. Maybe people won't get it. Maybe it'll sound like nonsense, like it did to the disciples. But at some point, someone will be brave enough, have the courage to go and see for themselves. They will walk into a place where they can witness what God has done. Eventually, they will get it. Eventually, the Holy Spirit will come upon them and reveal to them an understanding of what Jesus has done. But they won't know to check it out unless someone invites them through a story of their own. Just like Peter responded when the women shared a story with him and the rest of the disciples. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. This is good news. It's good news because Jesus has overcome the sin of the world so that we may have new life in him. And so everyone else can share in this new life. Anyone who comes to see it for themselves. God will reveal this victory over sin and death to anyone who comes to him. God will show us the new life we can have with him and with Jesus when we open our hearts to even just the possibility through the hearing of a story. This story of good news, the story of Jesus Christ risen from the tomb so we may have new life in him for all eternity. Isn't that worth knowing? Isn't that worth sharing? Good news for all the earth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on Friday we mourned your death. We confessed our failures and our contribution to that painful death. And for the last few days we have pondered, we have wondered, we have struggled to understand why it had to happen. Until this morning. This morning you walked out of the tomb to show us the battle is done and the victory can be ours because you fought it for us. You died for us and you rose from the grave to show us the war is not over when we join with you. It is done. What a blessing. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gift. We welcome your love into our lives, the love of our Father God that you share. Help us to know this deep in our hearts. Help us to share with those who also need to know this love in their lives. Be with us all as we welcome the good news that you have risen from the grave for us. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.